Precious Father in heaven, we thank you that your Spirit is here to uplift Jesus Christ and his truth, to help us to sense the urgency of the time that we live in. Indeed, Father, we are willing to say there is no place like home. We appreciate and love our country, but above all, Lord, we long for the better country. So prepare us. Help us to realize the urgency of the time as we would long that much more to be home with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles. Glad you brought your Bibles with you to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation, the 13th chapter. The book of Revelation describes your world and my world in the future, the world of tomorrow. Now, I've had the opportunity to go to state fairs and sometimes to world fairs, and have you noticed they always have an exhibit there of what it's going to be like in the future, those things in the future? Well, the Apostle John the Revelator, is, as it were, pulling back the curtain of time, and he's helping us to see through inspiration the future, what it's going to be like. And I'm here to warn you today, friends, it doesn't look like the exhibits at the state fair. What's the world of tomorrow going to look like? Are things going to get better and better just before Jesus comes? Not according to God's last day book, the book of Revelation. The Bible truth is things are going to get worse before they get better. In other words, before Jesus comes and he takes us to heaven, and I'm looking forward, I want to share with you a series of messages about heaven in the future. But before he comes to take us to heaven, this world is going to get even worse than it is now. Now, I know some of you are thinking, my pastor, how can that be? How could the world get worse than it is now? Well, let me try to explain. The last time we were together, we opened our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and 17, as you remember. And in those chapters, it clearly described there an end-time movement called the beast movement, acting worse than a controlling boss at a time of crisis. And there in Revelation, chapter 13, verse 7, it describes this beast power. Everybody with their Bibles open, follow with me as we read verse 7. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. This beast would be given authority over every tribe, language, and nation. You read that there in the last part of that verse. And I wonder what is going to happen to this secular world of ours to give the freedom that for that beast power in the end time movement to have such authority over the whole world with its message. What will have to happen in order for us to be willing to do that? Now, notice the first part of verse 7. It says that this end time movement, the beast called the beast, was given power to make war against who? What does it say there in the Bible? Against the saints. Now, I find that very, very interesting because, you see, it implies here there's yet another end-time movement. Not just the beast power movement, but there's another end-time movement, and we see it characterized here as the saints. And when I read in the Bible about the saints, I discover that saints are those who trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they follow him. And the very next verse, verse 8, says that they will have their names written in the book of life. So in this world of the near future, the beast power movement is going to oppose God's last day people called the saints. And they will try to get rid of all of those who do not believe and follow the way they do. Remember that. Now, this may not be the world that we live in today, but Revelation chapter 13 predicts and describes the world of tomorrow, just before Jesus comes. Look at verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not, what's the word? As would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So this end time movement called the beast will go so far as actually using the death threats to consolidate its power. And I want you to notice what revolves around the issue, the real issue in the last days, just before Jesus comes, is the issue that has to do with worship. Circle that if you haven't done that in your Bibles yet. Worship will be the last day issue just before Jesus comes. And if you don't worship the way the beast wants you to worship, then you will be facing the death decree. Verses 16 and 17, as we go down in this passage of Scripture, and he causes, in other words, he doesn't say, well, here, you take your choice. Would you like this or would you not like this? I want to be free with you. You want to do what you want. You do what you... No, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, slave and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. This end time movement will use the power of the economy as a means to stifle all opposition. And who is the opposition? Who is the opponent? That is, of the beast. Who are the beast's opponents? Well, right next door to Revelation chapter 13 is Revelation chapter 14. Your Bible's open? Take a look at verses 6 and 7 of Revelation chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting good news of the gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water. So there will be, in the end, just before Jesus comes, two end time movements. Two, not three, not four, not five, but only two at the very end of time. And Revelation chapter 13 describes one of them. Revelation chapter 14 describes the other. Let's try to summarize here, just for a moment, this other movement. There in Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. You remember the brief description? They're called the saints, and their names are written in the book of life. And then we came over here to Revelation 14, verses 6, and it says that these people will be trusting in the everlasting gospel. And they will be a worldwide missionary movement sharing the good news to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kingdom and tribe and tongue and people. Yes, even going to India and Cuba and Africa, wherever else Sutherland will send their missionaries and others will. And we see here in verse 7 that it says these gospel-believing, missionary-minded people will call the world to put God first, and not the beast first. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? What a contrast between one movement over the other. In fact, this end-time movement will not only point people to the good news of the gospel, Christ our righteousness by faith, but this end-time movement will not only point to the cross of Jesus, but they'll also point to what Jesus is doing now in heaven above. For the hour of his judgment is come. And notice what verse 7 describes about this end-time movement. They will be calling the world, inviting the world, calling the world to worship God. To worship God. The beast power will enforce their worship, their day of worship. The beast power will do that. But this end-time movement will call the world to worship God who made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. So there you have it. Two end-time movements, Revelation chapter 13 and Revelation chapter 14. And so here in Revelation chapter 13, it describes the world of tomorrow. As I look at the world of tomorrow through the book of Revelation chapter 13, friends, I see something drastic has happened to this world. Indeed, it is not the secular, intellectual, scientific world of today. No way. This is the world that clearly has changed from what you and I know it now. This is the world where the religious power movement will have power over the governments of this world, and anyone who opposes it, they will boycott them, even ultimately put them to death. What is going to cause this world that you and I live in to be so amazed of the power of this beast? What would cause a secular world such as you and I live in as ours to go along with the beast power and to worship the beast power, even to receive the mark of the beast? Well, the last time we were together, we suggested that there will come about a sudden change. Underline that word again. Sudden change in God's dealings with the world. And as a result of this sudden change, a crisis will occur. And the nature of this crisis is not noted in Revelation chapter 13. It's just the fact that obviously a crisis has occurred. We see that. But it's not until we go to Jesus' own words, Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26, we discover there the nature behind this crisis. What is it? You remember the words, Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. Jesus speaking of the last days just before he comes. He says, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things that are coming upon the earth, coming from the sky to this earth. For the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Jesus predicted that this would happen. During this series of messages that I've been sharing with you, we've learned not only does the Bible teach this, we've discovered that also science and astronomy verify it. And not only that, even Ellen G. White predicts that these things would happen. She predicted that the stars will fall again. In fact, more than one vision that she had, she saw what she described as balls of fire coming upon this earth. First is God's final warnings, and then is a judgment from God himself. And in harmony with the Bible, she places these natural calamities in the closing scenes of Earth's histories in the setting of Revelation chapter 13. So what is it that turns this world upside down? And as you look at Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26, it turns this world upside down, and the world is in distress and perplexity, and men's hearts are failing them for fear after those things that are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Answer, God will permit a sudden change. It hasn't happened yet. It is yet future to occur in his dealings with mankind. And this sudden change, this unexpected change, will bring about a world crisis like nothing that we have ever experienced in this world. And thus, the world of tomorrow is described right here in Revelation chapter 13. Now, believe it or not, there is yet another source that teaches that a natural catastrophe will come upon this world before Jesus comes. And today, I want us to understand that there are two end-time movements. Not one, but two. And both of these movements believe that the end of the world is imminent. Both of them believe and expect the future pleasant present social order will be completely upset by an end-time crisis. And both of these movements believe that their efforts will hasten the end of the world. And both claim that they have truth. In fact, both claim that they are God's last day movement. As I've been in the process of studying these two end time movements, I found it very interesting that both of them predict natural disasters, both of them. But one of these end time movements will have truth mixed with error and deception. And unless you and I know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, number one, and we are grounded on the Word of God, that does not mean that you have to be a pastor. That does not mean that you have to be a college student of understanding all the details of Scripture, but yet a basic Bible student and understand what the Word of God teaches and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Friends, if that is not happening in our lives, then the Bible says in the last days, it says in Matthew 24, if it were possible, even the very elect, in other words, those who are already in the Word and know Jesus Christ, even the very elect could be deceived, if it's even possible. It's going to be that deceptive. And that's why it's so important, friends, that we be grounded in Jesus and in His Word. Listen carefully. This is what one of those end time movements believes. How many here are familiar with the vision of Fatima? The vision of Fatima. Sound familiar? 1917. May, it was between May and October of 1917, three children in Portugal, in the village of Fatima, they claimed to have seen the Virgin Mary on the 13th of each month. And in July, these three children said that the Virgin Mary was going to, on October 13, she was going to confirm the genuineness of her appearances through a public miracle. And some 75,000 to 100,000 people were present. And they saw, without question, they saw a supernatural event take place from the heavens. They watched the sun fall towards them. It was falling towards them, and suddenly it turned around and went back up into space. They experienced a drenching rain. Their clothes were drenched, and the ground was just flooded all around them. And within 15 minutes, the ground dried up, and their clothes were dry. So convincing. So very convincing. But I've been asking, how can this be? I thought that Jesus' mother, Mary, died 2,000 years ago. Isn't that the way you understand it too? She's dead and she was buried and she's not in heaven. Who could this be then? Is this from God? Or is this some seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? One thing for certain, these events really happened, and a supernatural force has been working to produce them, and too many people, thousands of people, have seen them and experienced them. And during one of those events in Fatima, there were some 5,000 people present. And the three children were shown a vision of the Virgin Mary. And during this vision, the children said that the Lady of Light told them a secret. And her special instructions was they were not to tell that secret. They were not to tell what they saw. And Pope John Paul, the former pope, he believed that the Virgin Mary, that what she told these three children had to do with the end times just before Jesus comes. And he claimed himself to have seen and had that vision. Did you know that the visions of Fatima is to our Roman Catholic friends as to what the great controversy between Christ and Satan is to you and me as Seventh-day Adventist Christians? Fatima devotees believe that these supernatural events from heaven given by, through what they say, Virgin Mary, are preparing the human race for the end of the world. And as we meet in our small groups and we study our Bible, they are meeting in their small groups and they're studying the visions and the Marian apparitions that have to do with the last days. And so many Catholics, just as Seventh-day Adventists, believe that the coming of Christ is imminent. And in the past several years, these Marian apparitions have occurred not just in Fatima in Portugal, but across the world. And every once in a while, you're aware of it through the news, and whether it be on TV or the radio. And they're fairly consistent. Predictions of the future of the world, natural disasters as divine judgments, a transformation of our society, and a coming era of peace. But there's one common thread. There is one thing that all the Marian apparitions say. They claim that there will be in the future a sudden crisis. A crisis that they don't identify by the nature of the crisis, as powers from the heaven will be shaken, as Luke chapter 21 presents it. Or as Ellen White presents it, as balls of fire. That's not what they do. But I want you to notice, I'm going to share with you some of the Marian apparitions today. Listen to what they have to say. Here's one. A sister, Agnes of Akita, Japan, said that the Virgin Mary gave her a message on October 13, 1973. This is what she said. And I want to have it on the screen here. Notice it now. If men do not repent and better themselves, the Father will inflict a terrible punishment on all humanity. It will be a punishment greater than the deluge, the flood of Noah, such as one will have never seen before. Fire will fall from heaven and wipe out a great part of humanity, the good as well as the bad, sparing neither priest nor faithful. The survivors will themselves find themselves so desolate that they will envy the dead. Unquotes. Now, as we try to better understand what we have just read here, this particular Marian apparition calls these future judgments from God a terrible punishment on all humanity. In other words, this terrible punishment will directly or indirectly affect the whole world. Not one particular city over here or this particular country over here, but indirectly or directly, the entire world. And they describe this sudden change in the expression. Do you remember reading it there? Such as one will never have seen before. And what will come upon the earth? What is it will come upon the earth? It's described as fire will fall from the sky. Fire will fall from the sky. I want to share with you a few more testimonies from Marian visionaries, they call them. And I got this from a book entitled The Thunder of Justice, published 1993. Listen to this statement here. An unforeseen fire will descend over the whole earth, and a great part of humanity will be destroyed. Here's another statement. The earth will go out of its orbit for 3 days, and at that time, the second coming of Christ will be near. The devil will take over the earth, the world. Now, I want you to notice these two statements that I just read. Again, what falls upon the earth is described as fire, right? Remember reading that? But the descriptive word before that word fire was what really interests me. And that was this, an unforeseen fire. In other words, a sudden change. And also notice that these Marian apparitions state that this unforeseen fire comes from the sky just prior to the coming of the Lord, like a sign of Jesus' coming. And did you notice that following this natural calamity, following it, they predicted that the devil will take over the world. Now, you've read in the Bible, and I've listened to also from the statements from Ellen White, that Satan will appear as an angel of light just before Jesus' second coming. Now, the next statement, these also are Marian apparitions, testimonies of Marian visionaries. They claim that they receive these visions. Notice what they have to say that follows this catastrophe. What's going to happen upon the earth? Saint Peter and Saint Paul, having come down from heaven, shall preach in the whole world and designate a new pope. A great light will flash from their bodies and will settle upon the cardinal who is to become the pope. Christianity will then spread throughout the whole world. Another statement. In those days, now those days meaning after this calamity, there will be one shepherd, one faith, that of the Roman Catholic Church. Most interesting, wouldn't you agree? I want to share with you a statement that comes from a publication called the Queen of Peace. And the Queen of Peace is another name for the Virgin Mary. Notice what they have to say. Through a series of human, natural, and supernatural events, the long-awaited era of peace, predicted at Fatima in 1917, is said to be about to occur. mankind will witness the transformation of the world in an incredible fashion. The virgin's words indicate the face of the earth will be transformed, peace will rule, and the church will reign, unquote. Now, as I read my Bible in Revelation chapter 13, it actually predicts there that the Church of Rome is going to reign like it did during the Dark Ages. But this article goes on and it says this: repeatedly, Mary has told the visionaries that God is going to give signs to return to him, great miracles, and perhaps the sight of Christ himself. Now, believe it or not, as we've already indicated, the Bible and the writings of Ellen White predict that Satan, one of his great deceptions, final deceptions, will be the impersonation of Jesus Christ before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, the article continues. Other miracles will be of such a grand design that it is said that only obstinate sinners will be able to deny them. Marian followers say these miracles will be worldwide, given so that all may believe. Now, question here, doesn't Jesus and the Apostle Paul and John predict that demonic forces are going to be used to perform miracles to deceive the world at the time of the end? Isn't that in the Bible? And the Bible clearly implies that those who deny the lying wonders of the Antichrist at the end of the world are going to be considered, as we can use the word, obstinate sinners. Well, listen to this last statement. This is a prediction that they claim the Virgin Mary prophesied. After the miracles, the visionaries say the world will be cleansed of all who choose to remain attached to evil and sin. Unquotes. The book of Revelation predicts death decree for all those who refuse to join this end time apostasy. Now, in closing, I want to read a statement that is similar in nature to what we have just read here of another Marian apparition that was given to someone in France in 1846. That Jesus Christ, in an act of his justice and his great mercy, this is at the end of time, after these, just before Jesus comes, will command his angels to have all his enemies put to death. Suddenly, the persecutors of Jesus Christ and all those who are given over to sin will perish, and the earth will become desert-like. And then peace will be made, and man will be reconciled with God. Jesus Christ will be served, worshipped, and glorified. Charity will flourish everywhere. Need we say any more? Two end-time movements, both of them claiming to have a message in these last days before Jesus comes. Both claim that the stars will fall again. But one of these end-time movements will lead us to be lost, and the other will lead us to be delivered with God through Jesus Christ. Which of these movements is right? You and I must settle that question. And so as I close the message today, I am reminded of a statement I've read so many times. I'm reminded of it again and again and again. I'm so glad I've read it over and over again. And I want to read it to you. It's from Great Controversy, page 625 and 626. Only those who have been diligent students of the Scriptures and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captive. Who are the only ones that will not be captives? Only those who are diligent students of the Word. Are you a diligent student of the Word of God? Do you have a time alone with God? Notice what it says here as it goes on. By the Bible testimony, these will detect the deceiver in his disguise. Friends, we will not know it. It will be so real. If seeing is believing, we will be deceived. But only if we're in the Word of God, only if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is ongoing, will we be able to detect what is right and what is wrong. It's going to be that deceptive. And so my message to you through the Word of God today is stay close to God. Stay close to God. To all the testing time will come. By the sifting of temptation, the genuine Christian will be revealed. Will the real Christian please stand up? Are the people of God now so firmly established upon His Word, that they in such a crisis will cling to who or what? The Bible and the Bible only. Satan will. How's he doing, by the way? If possible, prevent them from obtaining a preparation to stand in that day. He will so arrange affairs as to hedge up their way, entangle them with earthly treasures, cause them to carry a heavy, wearisome burden, that their hearts may be overcharged with the cares of this life, and the day of trial may come upon them as a thief. Unquote. I would like to invite you to join me as we pray. Precious Father in heaven, your word is clear. And I would ask, Lord, that as we consider the times we live in, which we really believe are the last days of Earth's history, that you would wake us up. Some of us are still sleeping. Some of us have not been in your word. Some of us are unsure of really knowing you as our personal Savior. Oh, Father, today, may this be the day that we would dedicate our lives to Christ, who is the only source of our right standing with God. Christ, who is the only true picture of what God is like. And your word, your precious holy word, who is our guidebook for these last days of Earth's history, who points us to Jesus and helps us to stay close to Jesus. Father, may we dedicate our lives to you and your word today is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.